What is a father? This being Father's Day, I want to address the issue, what is a father? And not just fathers today, but fathers to be, and those of us who are grandfathers as well. Some years ago, on an old show that the grandfathers at least will remember, there was a show that Art Linkletter had on, and he interviewed little children, and they were 5 and 6 year old children, and he asked, I'll never forget, he asked a little boy, he said, what is a father? And the little boy said, a father is a man that wants to help, but he just can't. And it's often true in today's society. Dads get involved in so many different things in earning a living that sometimes their role and responsibility as a father domestically in a home are neglected. So today I want to look at this question, what is a father? Because for sure it is a role that cannot be overstressed, especially since the Scriptures refer to God as Father, gives evidence and credence to the role in domestic society. Even the secular world is realizing and reevaluating, fortunately, the importance of a strong father in the family. Even though in today's sitcoms and commercials, men are portrayed as buffoons or doofus, gay marriages cast one partner as a husband or a father, no matter what their gender might be. The nuclear family is being castigated by Black Lives Matter liberals. And unfortunately, in our culture, little is given to help the average male to learn his role as a father. There are no crash courses on Fatherhood 101. We are developing in our businesses, in our churches, in the government, charitable organizations, leaders, but few fathers are being taught. And yet God has given us men the responsibility as fathers to bring our children up correctly. And it continues right on into adulthood. So let's take a look and see what the Scripture might say with regard to this. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 78. Psalms chapter 78. Beginning with verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, and they, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that has set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Fathers, notice verse 5. It does not say mothers. Doesn't cut mothers out, I don't think, but it specifically is addressing us male. He commands fathers to make known to the children the things of God. They that may set their hope in Him. And for some reason, grandfathers confirm that. Well, mother said it, dad said it, but Pawpaw said it. So you get this continuation of the generations. It's not just the fathers, it's us grandfathers as well. You see, it seldom works for mom to be dragging the kids off to church on Sunday morning while dad mows the grass or is out playing golf. So fathers, here is number one when it comes in God's eyes to be a father. That is to make known to your children the commandments of God. We see it in Ephesians chapter 6. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Here's Paul's addressing specifically you and me today. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Obviously, then, you must know them yourself if you're going to do that. Do you know what the Lord would have you to know and your children to know? Can you articulate the gospel? What about the mystery? Do you know, can you articulate the mystery? Can you articulate God's purpose and plan for the ages? Can you convey God's love to your children? So the question then remains to some degree, well, how, some might ask. Well, obviously, first you've got to know. And I don't want to hang a guilt trip on any fathers or grandfathers this morning. Hopefully just some guidance and some common sense. So I want to, here are some things to consider as you deal with your children in this crucial role to give to your children and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord as a father. Number one, you have to have a strong priority system. You must purpose to do it. You can't just let it go and think that mom or the preacher is going to do it. You have to have this in your mind. Aristotle said, the great philosopher said, we like archers stand a far greater chance of hitting our target if we can see it. You must post this. You must make this a priority to your children. Place it high on your list of importance, knowing it is of God. Why do you need to post that? Because priorities and objectives always determine outcome. I saw the definition of fanatic once. It is said, one who redoubles their effort after they lost sight of their goal. You see, without priority, you concentrate on motion and you go in a circle. Set your goal and move towards it. You cannot steer aboard ship. You have to have something that's moving towards that which you posted, and that is understanding God's ways to be taught to children as a number one priority. A man with a plan, if you will. Number two, fathers, Husbands, love your wife. That is a strong command. You're there in Ephesians. Look at in that fifth chapter, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You cannot have peace and harmony and a teaching atmosphere in the home if you don't love your wife. This is probably more important than even number one. Children need peace and tranquility at home for their well-being. Husbands and wives need to be in harmony for their children. Number three, improve your parental skills. The scriptures say, train up a child in the way he should be or the way he should go. This requires some skill, I admit. And you, in that process, have to have some balance between work and home. In today's culture, it's especially hard. But you need to look for a successful role model. Copy those who are successful fathers. Find some books or CDs on the subject. Be honest. Ask the mother. Ask the wife. Am I fulfilling my duty as a father to our children? Be quick to change when mistakes are made. Number four, guard your attitude. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. A few pages over from Ephesians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things as a father. You see, as a father, you are not what you think you are, a big shot. What you think you are. So Paul's teaching us as fathers here to think on these things, because when you think on those things become priority, and then that sets the ship astray in the family. That's the direction in which the family tends to go, where the father is thinking on these things. You must have a good attitude to be a good father. It sets the stage in the home. You can't always be snapping at the wife because in turn she reams out the kids. The kids take it out on one another and the dog. The dog bites the cat. Chaos in the home does not lead to a good position for a father. Number five, communicate your instruction, your concerns, communicate in love. We saw there in Ephesians chapter 4 where it read, provoke not your children to wrath. You can't be raising children with an attitude, I'm going to beat your two eyes into one. I'm going to knock your head clean off. I never loved you anyway. Violence. Beating into submission. Discipline as a father and instruction as a father must be like what I describe as a velvet-covered brick. Soft on the outside and soft on the edges, but strong and consistent inside. Number six, you must spend time. It takes time as a father. A Cornell University study shows the average father in America today spends only 25 to 50 minutes a week in interaction with their children. That's just unbelievable. You must be interested in their interest. Get in their mind, in their skin. Listen. Listen to them. This is why dogs are good. A little essay that I have here written by a young boy in grade school. He said, "My dog Duke does not say, 'Do like my mother.' He doesn't say, 'Don't like my father,' or 'Stop like my brother.' My dog Duke just sits quietly, listens to me. I like him, and he likes me." So as a father, listen like a dog. But you have to be there to listen. There's a book, I've referenced it before, I believe, here at the forum. It's written by Pierre Morel that I wish all fathers could read. Don't be put off by the title. The title is Passive Men and Wild Women. In the introduction, Mr. Morel writes, and let me read it to you what he says. "Over the last few years, I have seen in my office hundreds of men that are very successful, articulate, and intelligent in their work, but ineffective, inarticulate, and unsuccessful in their relation to their wives and children. They are passive to their children, and their passivity and retreat from their role as fathers drives the mothers wild. To make sure this is not the case, fathers have a twofold responsibility. One, to function at home as head of the house according to Ephesians and Colossians. And two, to keep body and soul together, earning a living. But here is the problem, so much as we see in our society today. Fathers become weak at home versus strong at work. You see, they are untrained at home. We're not teaching fathers how to be fathers. So they're untrained at home, but they are trained as their job at work. So at home, they fail here, not knowing exactly what they should be or what they should do, but they're very successful over here on the job. They're bad-mouthed at home then by the wife or the children, but then they're praised over here at work. Consequently, they begin to neglect at home and spend more time thinking about and being on the job at work. Circumstances get worse than at home. And so what do? They spend more time at work, thinking about work. It takes time to listen and to be at home. Number seven, affirm your children. Fathers, grandfathers, you are one of the most, if not the most important person in their life. Tell them that you love them by action and word. Build them up with, "Atta girl, atta boy, I'm so proud of you. Good job. Wow." Most of you know I've had a lot of experience in prisons across America, having been in over 250 different prisons in the United States. And one of the things that I noticed, whenever we would go into these prisons, we'd have cameras or the local TV stations and so forth, and the inmates were always be saying, "Hi, Mom. Hi, Mom." 95-8% of them were saying, "Hi, Mom." Not many saying, "Hi, Dad." Why is that? No fathers in the home doing their responsibility. I was eating lunch with the warden of the Cook County Jail. That's in Chicago. At the time, there were 10,000 inmates in the Cook County Jail in Chicago. They're eating lunch with the warden. I said, "Well, warden, what's the makeup of your population here in the prison?" "Well," he said, "it's about 40% white, 60% black." And I thought for a moment and I said, "What about, can you tell me how many Jewish? How many do you think were in that prison that were Jewish?" Six out of 10,000. Why? Because in the Jewish culture, the father is still dominant. And I ask him, "How many of those six were women?" Zero. That statistic alone tells you a lot about the importance of fathers. Number eight, you should be spiritually dependent. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Beginning with verse 1. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." First verse of chapter 4, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." In that first bit of group, first bit of verses there, the last one, "In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path." That word "direct" is the same word that's used in 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly divide. The father had better be rightly dividing if you want to really convey truth to your children. The father role is one of great power and authority. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us that we have not been given a spirit of fear, but one of power and love and a sound mind as a Christian father. So, fathers and grandfathers, face your responsibility with these things I have suggested, and God will have in you the confidence that he had in Abraham. What was that? We find it in the 18th chapter of Genesis. I'll read it to you. 18, verse 19. The Lord says, I know Abraham, and he will command his children and his household, and they will keep the way of the Lord. And I looked up that word command, and it means to make firm to. Abraham will command his children and household, and they will keep the way of the Lord. What is a father? That is a father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for you as our Father, for the salvation that we have in your Son, Christ Jesus, for the written word that you provided us, for the opportunity to know and to understand and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Father. We thank you for it. I thank you for each one here. I thank you for the fathers here, the fathers-to-be, the grandfathers. I ask you to give us strength to be that which we should be in your eyes. For it's in Christ's name we pray, your Son. Amen.